Good morning, everyone. Are we hot yet? Are you guys hot? I'm always hot. Huh? Oh, I'm ready for the fly. Do you? Maybe I need a security team up here for fly control. Man. Nobody's going to go to sleep today because you're all like, I want to see him hit the fly. You're going to be on the edge of your seats. You're hoping the fly comes in. It's like, bam. Yeah. Yeah, the altitude was too much for him to get up to you. Yeah. All right, well, we are in the book of Philippians. We got some new Bibles, so you know, if you need one, you can grab one in the back. Before we get into this, we had I thought it was a really fun class yesterday on CPR. Remember, if you guys are part of the church and you haven't done a CPR class, you should really come. We're not charging you for it, and it makes us stronger as a church. And so I was going to just call some people out this morning. They don't know, except for maybe one person. They don't know I'm going to do this, but Lynn, would you share your thoughts on the class yesterday and tell people why they may want to come to it?
First of all, it's full of great knowledge. I've been to a lot of these classes over the last 50 years, so I've been to a few of them. And I would say this one on a scale of 1 to 10 is 12. It's a lot of fun. We learned a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So let's hear from the lifesaver, Mark.
So I hadn't taken CPR before, and I was surprised how hard you need to compress the chest and how softly you can breathe into it. I'd never done that before, but man, you have to lean on it hard. So it's good to take it, just so that you know, because you don't want to halfway do it.
Yeah.
So that was good. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, and it's that's an interesting thing when we give the breaths, right? We're like, whew, and I'm like, whoa, that's too much, right? And the dangers of that, because you think, oh, there's no big deal. Just, you know, you're going to fill the stomach with air. So yeah. All right, Miss Teresa, her and her girls came. Yeah, and the idea, guys, the reason I wanted you to hear that, because we're not charging you guys. You know, if the public's coming in, they're paying, but as part of the church, we're not charging, because we want to be a strong unit together, right? And that's kind of also the reason why that I threw this out there, is because it's going to fit the message today, right? That we walk in unity. So we are in Philippians. All right, now it's time to use your handy-dandy notebook. You remember where that was from? Was that Blue's Clues or something? Got my handy-dandy notebook? Okay. So if you, you know, start to remember this stuff, start to understand the different chapter kind of sub-themes, and then the entire theme of the book, once you put this all together, you'll start to understand the Bible in a completely new way. And you don't need a degree. All you need to know is the Bible. Amazing, right? Just know what the Word says, and then things start to come together, and then you're able to rightly divide the Word of God, which is really, really cool. Especially in a time like this, I mean, there's so much going on that it's like, man, it's coming at rapid pace. This is going on, that's going on. You know, and as we're talking about, our last podcast was kind of on preparedness, because that sometimes can be a dangerous word in the faith community. And we talked about what that means. Well, I tell you, everybody is to some degree a prepper. Every time you go shopping for the week's worth of groceries, you just prepared. Every time you fill your gas tank up, you just prepared. Do you just get enough gas to get to the next spot? No, you fill the tank, right? I mean, oh, that's stupid, Bill. Well, yeah, but that's really what we're doing, right? And we're understanding now that, hey, we don't have to be attacked by a foreign country. We can be attacked by a snowstorm, by a hurricane, by a lightning strike, by, you can personally, maybe your house is caught on fire. Now, oh no, what do I do? Am I ready for this? So, it's on many different levels, and I think it's biblical that we're wise and that we're good stewards of this stuff, and that we understand now, because when things happen, we have a tendency to do what? Become fearful. And we're going to learn today in Philippians, in Paul's situation, he's in prison, doesn't know what his future looks like, and he's going to say, you know what, the stronger I am, the more they intimidate me, and the stronger I am, the worse it is for them, right? How do you fight intimidation? You don't have fear. So, the book of Philippians, chapter 1, Paul's situation, Paul's circumstance. Chapter 2, having the mind of Christ. If you read chapter 2, it's going to say this numerous times, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. Chapter 3, knowing Christ. And then chapter 4 is your circumstance, your situation. So here's what's interesting. Paul says, here's my situation in chapter 1. Here's how I'm standing in my situation. Here's how I'm able to stand in confidence and understand where I'm at, knowing that my imprisonment is for the furtherance of the gospel, taking advantage of where God has you. And then Paul says, I can do this because I know the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ because I know Him. And therefore, if you know Him, you can have the mind of Christ, and you can apply that to chapter 4, your situation. That's the book of Philippians. Isn't that cool? And then as we dive down into those chapters, it just gives more detail to those main themes. And so now, if you're struggling with something, and it's like, man, how do I know Christ? Oh, Philippians chapter 3. And then you can dive in there, and it'll tell you how to know Him. How do I have the mind of Christ? What does that mean? Oh, chapter 2. Okay, I'm in this situation. I'm in this maybe trial, tribulation, this loss, this suffering. How do I deal with it? Philippians chapter 4, which will lead you back to 2 and 3. So it's a great book. It's a really good book. So we're going to close out chapter 1 today, and we're going to pick it up in verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. All right. So there's a couple of key words within these verses that we're going to hone in on today. Paul is now saying, this is my situation. I'm in prison. I understand what it's for. It's about the furtherance of the gospel. I'm going to grow where I'm planted. I'm going to make the most of where I'm at. So many times we get into a situation, whether it's a physical, a mental, a financial, a relational situation, and we're immediately looking for the escape. We're looking, how do I get out of this, right? Maybe could it be that God has us in that situation? We're told in Romans that we are predestined with our time, our boundaries, so that we would grope for him. That grope means to feel, to touch, to know him more. Right? We talked about Job. We read through Job and it sounds horrible, right? And we think, oh, that's a great example for somebody who is going through suffering to read Job. I don't know about that. Maybe you can read that and go, well, Job had it worse than I did, so I guess that kind of makes me feel better. But as we get to chapter 42 and we look at verse 5, we understand what the purpose was. You see, Job didn't go through just for our example, just so that we could read and go, man, Job had it worse than I had, right? Now, we can utilize that, but that wasn't the purpose. You see, God works on multi-levels. So we can read and understand and maybe look at our situation and go, it's not as bad as Job. And while Job is also dealing with an issue, do you know what Job's issue was? He was self-righteous. He thought he was good. And God was going to show him, yeah, you're not really so good. That, by the way, is a test. So when God puts us through tests, maybe trials, maybe tribulations, it's not so he says, well, let's see how Bill's going to do today. Let's throw him through this test and see what... He knows exactly what I'm going to do. You see, the problem is I don't know what I'm going to do. So the test is for me, right? When I go take that spelling test and I go, huh, I guess I really don't know how to spell that word. I have a choice to make. I can go, I don't need spelling. Who needs spelling? I got spell check. If you come on Wednesday nights, you're like, Bill, you should have paid attention in spelling class. By now, you guys know how to interpret Billy's. Well, I know what he meant. But I have a choice. I can say, yeah, I don't need that anymore, whatever. Spelling's stupid. Or I can say, I missed that word. I can improve myself, and I can learn to spell that word so that I don't misspell it the next time. And thus, I improve. So when we go through these tests with God, we can sit there and go, well, that stinks. Whatever. I'm going to continue on. Or we can wrestle with the faith thing. Well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't put me here. We can wrestle with that. Or we can go, okay, I see a downfall in my faith. I see a downfall in my relationship with God. I see a downfall in my perspective. So instead of saying, God, take this away because the pain hurts, it hurts sometimes, does it not, church? Or I can go, here's an opportunity for me to grow, to see where I'm weak, and then apply what I know through Scripture to that situation and then grow in it. You see, chapter 42, verse 5, Job says this. He says, before I heard about you, before all these trials, tribulations, before all this loss, I heard about you, God. To me, God, you were in theory, right? How many of you guys have God as theory, right? You read the Bible. It's what we call in the class yesterday. I said, hey, I'm just giving you guys information, right? I threw out my favorite thing. Knowledge is what? And everybody goes, power! And I'm like, no! It's potential power. You see, knowledge only becomes power when I apply the information to my life. Then it's powerful. So as I'm going through this trial and this tribulation, right, I got the information about God, and I say, okay, I'm going to now apply that. And then Job says, I see you in theory, but now after all this stuff, he says, now I know you. And that was the whole point. You see, God isn't trying to put his thumb on you. He isn't trying to make you suffer. He isn't like, let's see how much he can take. Let's see where they're really at. Remember, talking about Job, Satan was roaming the earth to and fro. He comes up there to talk with God, and he says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, yeah, I can't touch him. You don't let me. And he says, yeah, go ahead. God knew what Job was going to do. The test wasn't for him. The test was for Job. Right? He goes out and does a couple things. He comes back up. He says, hey, did you consider my... He's like, yeah, but if you let me do this, then I'll get him. And he says, well, you can do that, but don't take his life. I'm paraphrasing the whole story. Doesn't work. But you see, there was a twofold purpose there, because you see, Job had to experience God. And sometimes we have to do that too. So as we're going through our situation in Paul's circumstance, he's in prison, he's now experiencing God. So he's in chains, and instead of saying, Lord, take these chains away from me. Lord, reestablish this relationship. Lord, give me my job back. Lord, provide for me. Lord, take away this iniquity in my body, this disease, this handicap, this sickness. He says, Lord, what's in it for me right now? What do you have for me right now? How can I know you more in the place that I'm in? How can I grope for you more? And now we start to take the Word of God, the information that we have in the Bible, and we start to apply it to our lives, right? When we start to doubt our faith, we say, no, I know, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to believe in Him that all things work together for the good to those who love Him. I'm going to apply, I know the thoughts I think towards you, Jeremiah 29:11 says the Lord. They're not bad, they're good. Even though sometimes in our trial, in our tribulation, in our chains, man, this is bad. But God has a greater purpose. He has a greater purpose. And that's what we have to start to discover. So, therefore, we arrive at verse 27. We can do the talk, but do we do the walk? I think it was last week. I don't know. Things are slipping through me right now. It's like, I don't know. Look, deeds over words. When did I say that? Wednesday or Sunday? Or maybe I didn't say it. Maybe I said it in my own mind. Deeds over words. Words are cheap, church. I'm a Christian. I do this. I do that. And the more we throw that out there with our words, if our deeds don't line up, guess what? We are hypocrites. I'm not saying don't say stuff. But what I am saying is we should learn the example of Missouri, the show me state. You know, I went to basic training in Missouri, Fort Linwood. And that was the drill sergeant's favorite thing to say. You're in the show me state, soldier. Show me. I can do it. Show me. You say that all the time. Right? Jesus says, show them. Show the world you're my disciple. How? For your love for one another. Show them. Stop talking about it and show them. So he arrives at 27. He says, let your conduct. This interpretation of conduct is way of life. You can write that, way of life. Be worthy of the gospel. Now, what's the gospel? We all know it's Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity to save us, to take, the past few weeks we've been talking about it, to take the judgment that is going to come upon the world, he took upon himself on your behalf. Right? When you read through Revelation, and we're getting into the good stuff, we did the first horse on Wednesday, we're getting ready for the next horse, right? The opening of the seals. The opening of the seals is the sealed, that I think, the scroll of Daniel, which was the judgment of the end times, God's wrath upon the earth. And he's peeling off each seal as wrath is now being poured out. Now, you can either participate in that wrath, Revelation, bad stuff, right? People are like, man, that is some scary. I agree. Whoa, who wants to be part of that? Nobody. So how do you escape it? You say, I believe that Jesus took the wrath of God on my behalf. Because it says if you believe in him, you have passed judgment. You're not going to receive the judgment that I have. There's a dam that's holding back God's judgment. That dam is the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. When that is removed, God will start to pour out his wrath. But as the body of Christ, you haven't been set out for wrath. God doesn't have wrath for you. There is no wrath, because that same wrath, which is being stored up, bottled up, think of a soda pop, shaking it, was poured out on his son for you. And when you say, I believe, I receive, I accept, that Jesus took that penalty for me, I am no longer subject to God's wrath. That is the gospel. That's good news, yeah? It's called the gospel of grace. Not getting what I deserve. Not getting. So he says, let your life, let your conduct, let your deeds be worthy of that. We run around saying, I believe, I'm a Christian, and then my life is nowhere near worthy of what God did for me. Wow. Now, we can never measure up, right? I know I'm not perfect. Neither am I. I sin all the time. Because unfortunately, I still have this flesh. What was the question on Wednesday about the glorified body? The glorified body is the incorruptible body, which the corruptible has to be sown, and then we are reaped incorruptible. So there'll be a day where you will no longer battle the flesh. And then you can live in that state. But until then, we have the spirit battling with the flesh, minute by minute, second by second sometimes. But we are called here, because we are saved, to live worthy of that gospel. So the first thing out there to us is we understand the gospel. Are we living worthy of the gospel through our deeds? See, somebody shouldn't have to be told you're a Christian. Your life should say it. Right? Right, Church of Sardis? Are you Christian in name only? The can of beans? I'm looking at that can of beans and I start thinking, man, I can't wait to put some Lowry salt in there, some butter on there, right? I'm all excited. I'm looking for the can opener. My mouth's starting to water. I open it up and I'm like, that ain't no beans. What? And so that was mislabeled. And that's what we do when we run around saying we are a Christian, and then our deeds go, Church, we are to live a life worthy of the gospel. And Paul says, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, that the report, and believe you me, people talk, yeah? The report of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Was anybody here saved by a different gospel? No, right? Jesus Christ died for your sins, yeah? Can we all agree upon that? Are we all together in one accord to that belief? That's exactly what it says, okay? We stand fast in one spirit. which has one mind, and that is striving together for the faith, the belief of the gospel. We can get off on all these fun tangents. And sometimes we make our little side topics the main topic. Side topics such as baptism, such as church membership, such as here's our statement of faith, here's our doctrine, here's our beliefs, here's our conduct. Maybe the conduct of somebody within the church. And that becomes the main topic. Paul says, let it not be so. You need to stand together in one united spirit that is united under one topic, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? We can have conversations about all kinds of stuff. I've been saying some crazy stuff lately. What do you mean you don't think the church is the bride of Christ anymore? I was like, yeah, for years I thought that was. What do you mean the scroll's not the title deed of the earth? Yeah, I thought that's what it was. I'm changing my mind. Oh, I'm going to another church. What do I always say on that either? I said, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter. Is it foundational to Scripture and salvation? No. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Boom, that's it. That's it. That's what we need to be standing fast of, circling the wagons. You know, when sometimes people want to start to debate stuff, and I'm kind of tired of debating them, you know what I say? That's all great, but isn't it cool that Jesus died for us? Let's just revert the topic and get back to one accord. Because that topic isn't going to get you in or out of heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Can we be together in that? You see, God hates division. He can't stand it. The enemy loves it. And so he'll want to bring in subject topics that cause division. You know, I saw Jason the other day doing something. He's speeding down the road. He's going 53. Can you believe it? Down this road. It's only 50. Jason, you're disqualified as an elder. And we'll stir the whole church over it. Is it really about that? You know what Jason's response is to that? Man, I'm a sinner, but thank the Lord He died for me. Thank the Lord He died for your sins too, right? Now how do I say, yeah, but. You can't. Because you know what? I did 54, but I'm never going to admit that. We always say this, if I knew what you did, I wouldn't let you in this church. If you knew what I did, you wouldn't come. Isn't that the truth, church? Listen, we all need the Savior. There is none righteous, no, not one. Don't let anybody ever stand in a position of my position and tell you they've got it figured out. You know why I'm here? Probably because I need it more than you. Truly. I'm stubborn. God's going to say, I'm going to teach it to you first. Right? You learn the lesson for an hour on Sunday. I learn it all week long. Yeah? That is a challenge for us. Let us be worthy. Let our life be worthy of the gospel. Nothing else. Not the Ten Commandments. Not keeping the law. But worthy of Jesus' sacrifice for me. And let us be of one mind of that. And stand fast. Right? That's an aggressive come to attention. Come to attention. Get to that place fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together, right? Working, toiling together for this. For the belief, being fully convinced, the faith and faithfulness of the good news. Part two of this is if I'm approaching life from this standpoint, what is this standpoint? Does it sound like a victim or a victor? Sounds like a victor, yeah? Right? Who in the world, after receiving that from the Lord, after receiving and having this in your mind, working towards it, striving towards it in unity, who can come against you? Nobody. So he moves on to verse 28. And not in any way be what? Terrified. What is that word? Fear. By your adversaries. Listen, the stronger you get, the more united we get, the more adversaries we are going to have. We're in a critical time right now. Got a lot going on, don't we? We got Iran ramping up. We got reports of many Iranian sleeper cells in America. We're on the heels of a massive hurricane and a follow-up of a storm that is getting stronger. Yeah, Brandon? Coming right almost through the same path, a little bit different, but hitting the same area, kind of, sort of. We're in a crazy time with the elections. Violence is on the increase. How many of you guys are scared? Because we're told not to. You see, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy what? That message I just told you.
That's right.
He wants to steal, kill, and rob your joy. He wants to say, you're not a victor, you're a victim. You're a victim. Mm-mm. So easy for us to be terrified. I don't know what I'm going to do. I lost my job. I lost this. Hey, there's a strike happening. It got postponed, weirdly, oddly enough, until after the election. We're really to the point where it's like, is this just a bad TV show that we're watching? It's like, no, it's reality. Holy cow. What? How do you post? I'm a union guy. Do you guys know that? How do you postpone a strike? Kind of defeats the purpose of it, doesn't it? But whatever. I'm one of those weird union guys, by the way, right? I'm the union guy that's got Republican on my little. You know, when I was the training director at the union and Trump got in, they said, you're the reason he got in. I'm like, well, he didn't win Colorado, so I don't think so, but okay. But that's how they think. It's my fault. Whatever. That was a fun field trip. All right, get back to it. But listen, you stand from a position of victory. The battle has already been won. So we cannot allow any of these things to bring fear into our lives, because that's what he wants to do. So how do we do this? How do we battle the fear, right? It says, to them is proof of perdition, but to you, salvation. Listen, here's how you battle the enemy and its fear tactics. You don't become fearful. You don't be subject to it. When they come in and trying to intimidate you, and you stand up and you go, nope, you don't scare me. It's actually worse on them. It's casting the judgment back on them. In fact, when you stand in confidence, when you stand in victory, you're actually proving salvation. You're bringing judgment on them because they want you to cower down and to be afraid. And when you say that didn't work, it turns the tables on them. Do not be afraid. Do you know that in the Bible, fear not, approximately 365 times. Once for every day, because God knows how easily we succumb to fear. Church, it's time for us to stand in the victory of Christ. He died for you. Now, check this out. Let's go on my little tangent now. I thought today was going to be short. Every time I think it's going to be short, we go long. And I'm like, oh, honey, this is going to be a long one. She's like, what? That was only like 10 minutes. So you were hoping for a long one today. Be 10 minutes. But when we stand in faith, we are standing as the body of Christ. This is why the church is referred to as the body of Christ. Check this out. When Jesus' physical body was raptured into heaven, and I use that word purposefully, taken up in Acts, and he says, like manner, I'll come back. Okay? The church gathers together in anticipation for that. His physical body was gone. His physical body was replaced by what we know as the church. The church is the body of Christ. Okay? So now, this should be empowering to you and I. I am the body of Christ. Meaning this, not that you are actually Christ, right? Let's not go there. But we are empowered by him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am 100% empowered by Christ. So when did that happen for you, church? The day you received Jesus. The day you received Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in. Power came in. Everything that he had and has, you now have. You understand that? Because you are the representation of the body of Christ here on earth. Nothing should scare you from this point on. You're the body of Christ. You're the body. You're the body. You're the body. You're the body. I'm the body. And the body is what? One body. Yeah? And that's why we have to be of one mind. That's why we have to be of one spirit. We have to be unified in this. Because it makes us stronger. Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against what you and I know is the gospel message. It can't win. It can't win. So, when we stand in our salvation, we stand as the body of Christ in victory, empowered. For to you, verse 29, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer in him. Just like they beat and crucified the body of Jesus, they're going to try to do it for us as well. Understand this will happen to you. Okay? Well, you just said, yeah. Often, though, we mistake the spiritual victory that we have in Christ and try to apply it to the physical victory here on earth. This earth is already in trouble, church. We read in Revelation, it's going to be wiped out, right? Your place is not here. You are not a citizen here. You are a citizen of what? Heaven. Therefore, if your citizenship is not here, that therefore makes you what? An ambassador here. Therefore, live as one. Full circle, akuma matata. Your conduct should be one as an ambassador to Christ. Whether you're being persecuted, you're suffering, whatever, let it be so. We're told, yeah, they're going to kill you physically. But nobody can take that away from you, what you have been given spiritually through Jesus Christ. You have been made a king and a priest. That is empowering. Isn't that good news? So when that punch comes and you get hit, boom, for a minute, you're like, didn't see that one coming. Shake it off and go, yeah, here I am. I'm a king and a priest. When the enemy throws a blow at you, yeah, that didn't scare me. I stand in Jesus Christ. The Lord rebuke you. How many of you guys are in that situation right now? How many right now are just like getting bombarded? You're up against the ropes. You're down on the ground. Blow after blow after blow. Today, in the name of Jesus, stand up and say, I will no longer fear you. I have been saved. I have been made a king and a priest. I stand now in the body of Christ. In fact, we're told that as the world persecutes us, they are doing what? Persecuting Christ. Why? Because we are now one of the same. Man, that, I hope you all enjoying this as much as I am up here. Good stuff. We have to live in such a way. Next week we'll pick up chapter 2 and start to know the mind of Christ, right? Because if we're to live as an ambassador, right, we need to know what he's thinking and therefore be of one accord. But for you today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter who's going to win this silly election, no matter who attacks us, our faith is in Christ. Amen. Come what may, bring what may, you will no longer instill fear into my life. Take your job, take your health, take whatever. The more I stand in faith, the more I defeat the enemy. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your word. And all of this is because you took the wrath for me. All of this is because you so loved me that you sent your only begotten Son for me. And the only requirement that you ask is that I believe. And then I live as such. That's the confession of the mouth. Lord, today I stand, and you're welcome to join me in this prayer. A sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died on my behalf. Upon that cross, he took not only my sins, but the entirety of the sins of all of mankind upon himself. You placed the judgment against sin and redirected it upon him. I believe that. I ask for forgiveness for my sins, and I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. And I stand in victory. As he upon the cross said, it is finished. Was placed in the tomb, and on the third day had victory even over death and rose again. And then was received into your presence. Today I am clothed in his righteousness because of that. Thank you, Lord. Bless this church. Bless these people. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us the wisdom of the sons of Issachar to understand the wisdom of today. Give us the boldness of Samson. Give us the dedication of a David to be after your own heart. Give us the evangelistic mindset of Paul and all those who have gone before us, Lord. Because we can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And the church says, amen.